So let's look tonight in Revelation chapter 5, and Lord willing, we're going to finish this chapter tonight, and sure have enjoyed this study in the book of Revelation. I hope it's been a help to you, and we need to understand the things that are happening in the world, and it brings assurance to our hearts. It doesn't make us afraid. The book of Revelation has been a book that many have been scared of, I guess, or intimidated by, and I'm one of those, and it's amazing, though, when you start reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, when He has come, He'll guide us into all truth. And when we read the Word of God, we've got the author with us. And it's amazing how He'll help us and reveal to us. And you don't need a formal education, and you don't need, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that or in and of itself, but there is something wrong with it when it takes the place of the work of the Spirit in teaching. But if you have the Spirit of God in you, you can read the Bible and you can understand it, I believe, and know what God has for us. Let's look tonight in Revelation 5. Let's all stand if you're able. Do coach your prayers. I preached really long this morning, and I looked it up, hour and 2 minutes. I can't remember the last time I preached that long. And somebody said, oh, that's fine. It's okay, but Sunday night, it takes a little bit out of you. But let's look here tonight. I've made a challenge, or Brother Justin and I, on the time tonight. We'll see if I can't meet. It's 6:24, Brother Justin. Just keep track back there. Thou said in verse number 11, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, a whole lot, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the fountain, that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. Father God, we pray tonight You'd touch us again. Lord, I know as we open this book, Lord, we're opening the sacred Word of God. Lord, I believe with all my heart every word of this Bible is true. And I pray tonight that You'd help me to preach it in such a way that, Lord, it convicts the heart of the lost, but it helps and comforts and encourages the heart of the saved. And I pray tonight, Lord, as we close out this fifth chapter of Revelation, I pray for a little while, Lord, You'd let us see what John saw. Lord, I pray for a little while, we'd let us hear what John heard. And I pray that it would stir us up tonight and help us all to remember we're closer than we realize to the day in which we'll stand before Your throne. And Lord, like the girls sung about, Lord, we'll thank You for all You've done. Lord, I pray tonight You'd help me preach from a heart of love and compassion. And I pray, God, for those that listen tonight, that listen attentively, Lord, that we'd worship You through the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. You can be seated. This is the third message from book of Revelation chapter 5 we've preached. And we said the first message in verse number 5. The Bible says, and one of the elders saith unto him, me weep not, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. And we said the first thing we learn about this Lamb. And again, the focus of this whole scene is on the Lamb of God. Yeah. I thank God for the details we know about heaven. And by the way, the half has only been told. We don't know a lot about, but what we do know is wonderful about the construction there and the gates and the streets. But I want you to know this evening, when we get to heaven, you know what we're going to be focused on? We're going to be focused on the Lamb of God. Amen. All right. Yeah. And He's won tonight. He said, John, you don't have to weep because the Lamb hath prevailed. And aren't you glad tonight, like the kids just sung about, our God always wins. He always wins. And I'm glad that 2,000 years ago that Jesus Christ won a victory for me, but I could not win for myself. Thank God he has prevailed. Verse number 6 on down, we said in verse 6, he said, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Last Sunday night, we preached on that. Not only is the lamb one, but we talked about this was a lamb that was wounded. I want you to know tonight, those wounds that he carries is the only reason you and I are going to get to be there. I want you to know that if he had not have been wounded, none of us could go to heaven when we die. And thank God he was willing. Listen, he said over there in Hebrews chapter 1, he talks about that son. He says, behold, lo, it is written in the volume of thy book, I am come to do thy will, O God. I want you to know, and he said, a body thou hast prepared for me. You know what? I believe the body of Christ was prepared so that God could come and dwell among men, but not just so he could dwell among men, but so that he could die for men. The Lamb's won. But now in verses 11 through verse number 14, look down at verse number 14. He says, and the four beasts said, amen. And if and there's some people who don't like people saying amen, but I want you to know we're going to say it in heaven. Amen. Did you know this, that amen is one of the names of Jesus Christ? He's the amen. that word verily true, he is the truth of God. And the Bible says in the 24 elders, now I've said this and I'll say it again, I believe these 24 elders are figurative, they're representative, if you would. The 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles, I believe they represent the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. It says they fell down, and here it is, and worshiped him. Worshiped him. So not only has the Lamb won, and not only was the Lamb won, but we see lastly here tonight that the Lamb is worship. I want you to know tonight that Jesus deserves all of our worship. The Lord Jesus Christ tonight, he doesn't just deserve some of our worship. He deserves all of our worship. And I want you to know tonight that we are made to worship. We are. In fact, that's something that differentiates us from animals, from dogs and birds. We have the capacity or the ability to worship God. And the Bible says that in heaven, these 24 elders fell down and worship him. And there's a lot of misunderstanding tonight about what is worship. If you want to know what worship is, this is very complicated. It's really difficult. But you know what you need to do? You need to look up the word worship. And this particular word for worship, it's amazing. I've been studying and I looked it up. And one of the definitions, it means like a dog when it licks its master's hand. You ever gone out and give your dog a treat? You know, Miss Sheila's been bringing me bacon grease, and I've been just pouring it, and I come to find out that, Miss Sheila, that can cause pancreatitis in dogs, so I'm having to cut back on the bacon. I got news. It's a wonder I didn't go out there and all of them dead with bacon grease hanging out. But, you know, they just, and so it means to kiss. It means to show affection. It means to show love. Another definition I looked up, it means to blow a kiss. You know, have you ever dropped your kids off at school? Do y'all remember when you used to hate dropping them off for about 3 weeks and then now you love dropping them off? I mean, we're there. I mean, when the doors is open, when the janitor gets there and the light, hey, y'all ready for it? We'll let them, you know what I mean? They can mop, they can sweep, they can do whatever that y'all need in here. And then, you know, used to, I remember when Ginger, you know, you want to be the first one in the car line. Now you want to be the one that files in there right when they're getting ready. That way you ain't got to wait in the car line. But you remember, I remember my kids, and they even now sometimes they still do, Drew and Macy, they'll go get on the bus, and when to blow a kiss, it means to show a love or affection or adoration, and that's what he's describing here. And did you know that's what we're doing tonight? This is a worship service. I want you to know now, we're hypocrites if we have a worship service and we don't worship. And when we worship him, now there's a lot of people that equate worship with emotion, and then there's others that equate it with other things and feelings. And by the way, you can't convince me that all these people right here in Revelation chapter 5 ain't feeling something. Right.
If you think for 1 second we're going to be up there in heaven with ten thousands and thousands of angels and saints of God worshiping Him and praising Him and singing unto Him, and we're not going to have a little bit. I don't know what to tell you if you believe that. You've got your right to your opinion. I've got my right to mine, and I believe that there's going to be emotion to it. I believe, but it's not about that. It's not. Worship is simply me blowing a kiss to the Lord and saying, I love you, I appreciate you. Yeah. The reason we come to church is to worship Him and say He's worthy and He is the Lamb of God that died for us. And when we sing, we ought to worship Him and not just halfway sing and sing out of the song, but we ought to sing with our whole heart. And listen, John said, I saw and I beheld, and they worshiped Him.
Amen.
They ain't worshiping them in this world. But I want you to know tonight, God is seeking for folks to worship Him. John 4:23, Jesus said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. This Lamb that John is seeing here, this Lamb. And by the way, I'm not going to go there, but you can read in Revelation 9 where John fell down at one of the angels and began to worship him. And the angel said, whoa, John, don't worship me. Worship God. So basically here what we learn is that this Lamb is God. I want you to know now, Jesus is not just the Son of God. He is God the Son. Now, the modernists and liberals and the Bible deniers, and they call themselves, what they call theologians. But listen, they're not. They don't believe in the deity of Christ. They teach us that Jesus was a good man. He was a kind man. He was a wise man. But that's as far as they're willing to go. But I want you to know, and they'll tip their hat to Jesus. They'll tip their hat. But listen, we shouldn't tip our hat to Jesus. We ought to bow our knee to Him and realize this Lamb right here, He is not only the Son of God. He is God the Son, co-equal with God, co-eternal with God, co-existent with God. They worshiped Him because He was God. Notice this in verse 11. I want you to see the congregation for this worship. Verse 11, he said, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. This congregation, now verse number 9, it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Now, these people in verse 9 are not the same in verse 11, because he said he heard angels. Angels have not been redeemed. Jesus did not shed his blood to redeem the angels. He shed his blood to redeem mankind. And so we've got the redeemed, then we've got the angels, then we've got these beasts, and then we've got these elders. And so what I want you to see here is the diversity of this congregation. You've got people in verse 9, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And then verse 11, you've got angels and beasts and elders. And you've got this crowd from all walks of life. You've got angels in this congregation who have stood in the presence of God throughout all eternity, who have worshipped Him day and night, circling around the throne, crying, holy, holy, holy. You've got these 12 elders representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and the 12 representing the apostles there. You've got the redeemed, and this crowd is a diverse crowd. People from every walk of life, from every corner of the earth, amen, from the east, the north, the west, the south, they're all going to be a part of this crowd, amen. I want you to know, listen tonight, I'm thankful that in the church of the living God, that we're all able to come together under the banner of the cross and worship Him. It doesn't matter what our income is. It doesn't matter what our possessions are, but we're all a part of a congregation.
Amen.
The diversity of this crowd. But look at this. The dimensions of this crowd. He says they were 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands, thousands. It's been a while. Ginger's taking algebra, so I'm having to, refresh. I used to be real good at math. And I'm no mathematician, But I know 10,000's got four zeros. Am I right? Last time I checked, I don't know about this new math. This is the way it's supposed to be. Four zeros. And then times 10,000's, now you got eight zeros. Am I right? Four and four is eight. Thousands, there's three zeros. And thousands, that's three more. So we got four, four, three, and three. That's 14 zeros. Now, I looked it up, and unfortunately, they didn't give me a word for 14 zeros, but I do know what 12 zeros is. 12 zeros is trillion. Now, trillion's a lot. I don't know how you can even think about trillion. There's 6.7 or 7.3, depending on who you ask, depending on what Bill Gates is doing, how many we got on the earth right now. I'm sure he's trying to weed his own down, but just say 7 billion. You know how many billions is in a trillion? 1,000 billions. Is in a trillion. And John looked at this crowd. He says there was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands and thousands. I believe what he was trying to say is, I looked as far as I could see and they were everywhere. Amen. Everywhere I looked, he saw angels, he saw beasts, he saw these elders, he saw this redeemed crowd, these folks that had come to God by faith in his son. Those, and he looked and he said, this was the largest crowd. Now remember where John had just been, alone on the Isle of Patmos. And listen to me, right now, we're pilgrims and strangers and sojourners down here. We're outcasts, we're rejected, despised. And by the way, the world's not supposed to love us. The world's not supposed to accept. Jesus said they hated me and they'll hate you. He said in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We are the faithful few. We are the remnant. Listen, we're the ones. But I want you to know, on that day, we're not going to be a little crowd. Amen. Right. Brother Justin, I was talking. I've been in services where, you know, a large crowd, a large number of people, and I'm sure Brother David has, and when all those voices begin to sing and all those voices come together, I mean, it's just, it'll give you chills. I don't know when or how they do it. There's really no rhyme or reason, but ever so often I'll come in, it'll be late at night, and during the winter, this always happens in the winter time. I guess they're just trying to stay warm. But the Amish men will be over here singing in this barn back here. Now, I don't know what they're saying. They sing in Dutch or something. And Brother David, I'm talking about it sounds like 10,000 men singing. I'm talking about you want to hear something amazing. And listen, on a cold, clear night. And they're back there singing, and I hope they're going to have, next time they do it, they go there and say, hey, y'all need to pray about this land right here. Y'all really love God as much as you see how. But anyway, but can you imagine, and think about this, the vast majority of churches, real churches, I mean by, from beginning to now, have been smaller in size as far as numbers. I thank God for large churches. I do. There's been some building, some works that God's built, and some that were, and they were able to make a difference. You understand? But for the most part, the vast majority has been smaller congregations. There's a reason John, 1 John, he talked about that little flock. I mean, it's just a group here and a group there and a group here and a group there. And I think about all those preachers that I know. I know a lot of preachers. Most of them I know. They pastor but they do their very best. They try to preach the word of God and love them and help them. But I want you to know, think about on that day. When we all get together, I'm talking about 10,000 times 10,000. I believe, John, if you were to stand by and say, John, say, I ain't never heard nothing like that. The congregation for this worship. Now look down, verse 12 and 13. The confession in this worship. When we worship, we're making a confession. It says in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Notice this quickly, the fervency of this confession. They said with a loud voice. You look up that word, loud voice, in your Webster's. You know what it means? Loud voice. You look it up in Greek, and it says, loud voice, exceeding great. I want you to know, if you think that heaven's going to be somber and silent, you've lost your mind. The quietest world you'll ever live in is here and now. John said with a loud voice, who is this crowd? The redeemed, the angels, the 10,000s and 10,000s and thousands and thousands with a loud voice, with a loud, like a mighty thunder began to roll. Oh, out down the streets of heaven, down out in the out to the corners of outer space. Oh, and listen, I believe that when he sung, there was a ring to it. There was a power. Have you ever been in a large at a ball game or somewhere? I've been in several with a lot, and I've been on the bad end of some, and been on the good end of some. And you've got 90,000, 100,000 in there, and everybody, and here it is, it's coming down up to the last play, to the last tick of the clock. I mean, the ball is on the 1 yard line, and this team's getting there, and they've got a score. And the moment that fella crosses that line, all 90,000 stand up and shout it. That's what happened right here. But not 90,000, 10,000 times 10,000. Nobody is going to sing and worship him like this up there. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That's not how it's going to be. The focus of the confession is the Lamb. Verse 11, they says, worthy is the Lamb. They talk about the, and by the way, I believe this is something we all do. I believe this is a good pattern for how we all worship him down here. You know, we are practicing for heaven. And I believe that when we worship here, we ought to focus on what they're focusing on there. That's the Lamb. That's the Lamb. I don't know why. I don't know if somebody gave them my number. I don't know. But I've been having these singing groups call me all the time wanting to come sing. I had one call the other day and said, now, we'll come just for a $500. If we ask for $500 and a love offering, and we need a place to stay. I just let them give me their spiel. And I said, I'm good. Thank you, though. But I said, no. Anyway, the focus of this, it's on Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Look at this, the preciousness of the Lamb. They said worthy. How precious is Jesus? How precious is he? Well, we read back, and I'm not going to, but we learned in the first few verses what made John cry was they searched through heaven and earth to find just one person who was worthy to open the book, and they couldn't find one. And why did John stop crying? Because they said, weep not, John, for the Lamb. Yeah. Has prevailed. I want you to know, when we worship, we all worship the preciousness of Jesus Christ. You know, you can buy a new watch. You can get another car. I mean, you can, everything we have, materially speaking, can be replaced. But Jesus is one of a kind. He's the one and only Son of God. And John said in heaven, they're crying saying, worthy is the Lamb. What they're saying, they're worshiping him and they're focusing on how precious he is. Right. The precious of the Lamb. Then not only that, they focus on the passion of the Lamb. They said, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. It's a confession of the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. The blood is essential of salvation. Bible says, without shedding blood, there is no remission. I want you to know, if you don't like bloody songs, you're not going to like the songs we sing in heaven. They're bloody songs. You can't take the blood. I mean, you can take it out down here, but you won't. I can just imagine some know-it-all, which most of them, the modernists, they're not going to be there. They're lost.
Yeah.
Just because they wear a tie and teach in a Bible college don't mean they're saved. But anyhow, can you imagine one of them know-it-alls, Brother David, saying, excuse me, Lord, that word blood and slain is offensive. I want you to know tonight, it's not offensive to me at all.
Amen.
In fact, it means something to me because he said we're going to focus on the passion of the Lamb. And I believe when we worship him down here, we ought not just focus on the preciousness of the Lamb, but we ought focus on the passion of the Lamb. I believe we ought talk about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. We ought sing about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We ought preach about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to know there's nothing better we can preach about. There's nothing better we can sing about. I mean, as a pastor, we have to deal with certain things from time to time, and it's necessary. It's necessary to deal with things and preach on other things. But I believe every opportunity we have, we ought to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, it focuses on the person of the Lamb. He says, to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. This is a sevenfold doxology. The first four, power, riches, and wisdom and strength. Those are some intrinsic characteristics of Jesus Christ. What that means is those are some things he has that we cannot give. Think about it. Power. Can you give him power? He has all power. Think about this. Riches. Can you give him riches? No, he has all riches. Wisdom. Can you give him wisdom? No, you cannot tell him anything he don't already know. Kind of like your mother-in-law. But, I'm just kidding. But, strength. Can we give him strength? No. What this first four part is them worshiping him for who he is. And for those intrinsic qualities that he has, that power and that wisdom and that strength and those riches, they're recognizing these qualities about him. But then he goes on to say, blessings and honor and glory. Now those are things we can give him. You can honor him. You can bless him. I looked up that word blessing. It's amazing. I should have looked it up before I come to church this morning. Might have helped in the sermon. But Lord knows I didn't need anything else added to it. But blessing, one of the definitions of that word blessing right here, it means to cause one to smile. And glory. Blessing. And when we worship him, that's what we ought to do. We ought not only to recognize those qualities that he has that cannot be added to and cannot be taken away, but we ought to give him the honor and we ought to give him the blessing and we ought to give him the glory he deserves. Right. Listen to me tonight. I'm winding down. Checking my time. There's very few things that we can do down here that we can do up there. But you know what one of them is worshiping him. We can give him blessings and honor and glory right now. And we're going to be able to give him blessings and honor and glory right then. Then he says in verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as the sea and all the blessed, heard I say blessed and honor. Now here we see the fulfillment of this. You say, what's the fulfillment? Well, there was an old preacher in prison named Paul. Philippians 2 verse 10, he said, every knee will bow. Every tongue confess the things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. This is a fulfillment of Philippians chapter 2. In heaven, on earth, under the earth. Philippians 2 says every knee should bow. Romans chapter 14 says every knee shall bow. Guess where we're at right now? We're in between the should bow and the shall bow. You better bow now, because if you don't bow now, you will bow then. Verse 14, and the four beasts said, amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. I want you to see the continuation of this worship. How long are we going to worship him? Forever and ever. That's another one of those words that we can't grasp. But like that song says, while the ages roll, we'll keep on praising him. He said they worship him that liveth forever and ever. We'll never reach a point where we'll say, all right, we worshiped him enough. Think about that. There's a line, you know, like you can preach too much, you can sing too much, you can eat too much. We tried to do that while we was in Florida, but I've got to go back on that keto and I'm dreading it, but anyhow. But you can't ever worship him too much. Worship him here, worship him there. Let's